Welcome to Clarity in Real Time, where we explore how to access, sustain, and leverage inner clarity to build and scale businesses truly aligned with our values and goals. I'm your host, Dane Ellen Archer. Hello, everyone. I am so excited about today's episode because joining us today is my dear friend, Isabel Tierney. She is the founder of The Feel Good Life and creator of a methodology that allows you to live at your highest vision of yourself, no matter what the world throws at you. She's been in private practice as a therapist internationally since 1996, helping people learn to live passionate, sacred, awakened lives. Her bent is psycho-spiritual, believing that we have to heal mind, body, and spirit to become whole. So welcome, Isabel. I'm so excited that you're here.
I'm so excited to be here. Even though people are just getting the podcast that they just get to listen, I get to actually see you because we're on a Zoom call and I'm making all kinds of happy faces about getting to be with you today.
So obviously we're good friends, and I want to reveal that we're actually business partners as well. We are partners in Destination 11, where we co-lead retreats in beautiful locations around the world to help women learn to access and sustain their highest frequency in the midst of full and often stressful lives. And Isabel, what does this highest frequency stuff sound like to you? What does that look like in your world? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I love that question because so often we talk about vibration, you know, high vibes or high frequency, and like how often do we actually take the time to describe it? So for me, it's an interesting thing, right? Because I love combining science and spirituality. I think both are really important for us to lead these really full lives. So scientifically, we're literally talking at a higher brain frequency where at that higher brain frequency, we see the world as whole. We feel more peace. We feel more joy. We feel more love because literally our brains are synced up in that way. And then spiritually, to live at a high frequency, we are talking about vibrational frequencies. And there's some really low vibrational frequencies like fear and impatience and frustration and rage and hate. And then there's some high frequencies like peace, love, and joy, right? The same ones as the physical ones, but that are actually frequencies we can hook on to, connect to, and actually choose to live at no matter what the external world is doing, whether it's completely chaotic or completely peaceful. What I teach and what our retreats teach is how to access those high frequencies no matter what.
This is a juicy subject for me because I feel like I've been actively pursuing how to do this for myself. And I feel like we get here in a variety of ways. And it's sometimes hard to re-achieve that high frequency when you're down already low. Like, how do you bring yourself back up? And how do you stay there once you get there? Because I know as an entrepreneur, that is where I'm most profitable. I'm most productive. I am having a ball. And it seems like that flow state piece where everything I need just shows up is operating on full speed. Is it also like that for you?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I'm noticing a lot of grief in my body as you say this because I have spent so much of my life not living in that frequency, you know, and I know that I'm not alone. I know so many, really, I will be talking about female entrepreneurs right now, who lives out a stressed out, reactive lives because especially for successful, it's so easy for the world to always send us things and send us projects and send us people wanting to meet us and send us people wanting to work with us. And I just have a tendency to say yes to too many things and to not be really clear about what it is that's really of value to me, right? And so I say yes, and I say yes, and I say yes, and I say yes, and I say yes, especially because I'm a healer. I love to serve. Like, that's an important value of mine. And then I end up living a life in which I'm in stress all the time and I'm in exhaustion and depletion all the time. And like you were saying, it's such a catch-22 because when I slow down, when I connect to that high frequency, that's when I get the most clarity inspiration, joy, you know, I'm the best at my work. But when I live at that stressed out frequency, I'm at my worst. And yet I have spent a lifetime learning, like, how do I not live like that? Because we have a world that supports that. How are you? Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, good, right? That must mean you have value because you're so busy and stressed out. Yeah, let me pause there because I'm not answering your question. It's more like I was describing, like, the grief about how myself and so many other women I see, successful entrepreneurs, we live away from that high frequency. And it's really painful.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of resonance in that, right? Like, as we grow and expand, there's like a new level of busy that occurs. There's like a new level of overwhelm. I've certainly experienced it in my own expansion, and I hear it from clients and I hear it from peer groups and even mentors, right? They're going through it as well, where we have this passion, we have this interest, we have this internal motivation, some days more than others, right? And oh my gosh, sometimes our old strategies for overwhelm no longer work. So one of the things that brought you and I together and had us launch Destination 11 was that we seemed to be perfectly timed where we recognized this, and we were both actively, in our own individual unique ways, we're all snowflakes out here, we were figuring out for ourselves, A, what is our highest frequency? I feel like you and I are constantly refining that in reflection to one another and in support. And also, how do we get there? How do we get there and bring our passion forth in the world so that we make the positive impact that we want to? How do we do that? Mm. How are we doing that as individuals and as partners?
Right. So you even did it just now in real time, like the way you slowed down. I was working with a client the other day, and she's really been practicing this too. And she came up, she was like, I'm learning to slow down in order to wake up. And I was like, ooh, that is like your brand, honey. Like, slow down, wake up. I think slowing down is probably my most important tool and the one that I often resist the most, right? Because this is why I was calling it a catch-22. The more busy I get, the more I rush, the more I rush, the more overwhelmed I get. I mean, it just keeps feeding the hamster wheel. And so I think the first step and the most important step is to be willing to slow down because of being unwilling to live in the rushed out state. And once I slow down, then the second step is to have to ask myself the question, which you've helped me get clear on, is what do I really want? Like, what really are my values? And if I want to live at the highest frequency, and which for me is like inspiration and flow and open-heartedness and joy and spaciousness, if that's really my highest value, that high frequency, then how can I start filtering all my choices through that highest value? Because before, I wasn't filtering my choices through any values. It was like, okay, I'll say yes to this project and then this project and to this client and this client. It was passive success. And that led to a lot of stress. And I really like that, passive success. That's an interesting couple words. Yeah, I'm going to stop there and ask you, how does that land with you?
Well, to me, it makes sense. There is that passive success where we just say yes, and I've done this, where I get opportunity. For whatever reason, opportunity arrives for me. And it looks like work. There's a famous quote out there about that. And I freaking love work. That's my addiction, right? I love working. So I'll say yes because, oh my goodness, there's a problem to solve and work to be done. And it is passive success, though, even though I'm working so hard because I'm just taking what comes at me. But when I start, and what I use to actually stay at my highest frequency is I slow down. I connect into my body through my breath, my bones. I sink in. I do a reboot. I connect to my nervous system. I notice the state of my nervous system. Am I agitated? Am I content? Is my body telling me a signal? So I check out the human suit. And then from that place, I come forward and check in with, what's my actual desire in this moment? For me, being such a people pleaser as a default when I'm in the state of unhealth, the opposite of that to me is to actually check in with desire. What do I want? And that can be aligned with my values. It can be aligned with my goals. It could be just simply that I need a cookie and a nap right now before I'm going to take on more work. So I come from that place to stay at my highest frequency. And the results of that for me, not only are business success and a life that is even more aligned with what I want, it's a healthy, healthy, happy body. My immune system is better. Like stress, I can be more resilient in the face of stress. I have that capacity that I love having. And I get to explore connection with others more. I can stay in relationship with self and with others, regardless of the chaos that's going around.
Yeah, I love that. So it's personal, professional, and relational, what we're talking about. Because that's the thing, right? Like, I don't want to be just focused on my work. I want to have time for my personal life and my relational life. And I find that when I get too full, too overwhelmed, I might be really successful at work. I might be doing great. I might be even thriving at work. But meanwhile, right, I was divorced from my partner. I'm back with him, thank God. But I actually got divorced. You know, I had an eating disorder and adrenal exhaustion. I mean, so there were so many costs to my living a life that wasn't oriented towards the value of living at the highest frequency. And you and I, what we do in our retreats is we actually encourage women to focus on all the areas of their lives and actually continually choose these high frequencies as their highest value. And it's hard, you know, like one of the things that I want to reveal is we so often, it's like we want it to happen one time. Oh yeah, 7 years ago, I had adrenal exhaustion and I got clear and then I'm over it. It's a daily practice. And sometimes I fail miserably at that. You and I have talked a million times where at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm so exhausted. I said yes to too many things. I don't even have time to talk to you to find out like how the heck you're doing. And then there's some days that I'm much better at it. So I want to, you know, one of the things you and I have a lot of common value about is bringing people relief, normalizing being human and normalizing what it means to be an entrepreneur. This is a lifelong practice. We just have a really good map that we teach about how to do this practice. And we have really good support so that, you know, women don't feel alone doing it. They feel in community doing it. Because I think that's really important.
Yeah, I noticed there's a lot of passion online for both of us on this subject. And this is our deep why. So I want to continue to share some of the things that we use, the tools. I feel like there's going to be a bunch of nuggets out of this episode for our fellow females out there trying to crush it, trying to build lives that they want and crush it by not crushing themselves. So maybe we can continue to riff on those. Mm. Like, what is one thing that you've done today that's truly brought you back into, I know in your language, it's the feel-good life, it's the green zone, right? When your nervous system, in my language, is in its parasympathetic state and you are operated in rest and digest and you're most resilient. So what's one thing you've done today to get yourself there?
Oh, I love that question. There's a couple that come to mind. A new practice I started 3 days ago is to literally say thank you in front of everything I do and think. Thank you for having a toothbrush. Thank you for giving me water. Thank you for giving me this podcast, this time to engage with you. It's like when we are in the stress response, we're literally wired to look for what's wrong, right? So we worry about whether we have enough money, whether our children are doing well enough. We look at what's wrong. Why is our partner chewing so loudly? Like, why is my boss so unkind? Like, it's like we're literally wired in the stress response. So in order to shift myself and live sustainably in that high frequency, in that green zone, constantly orienting myself to what's right, right? Gratitude practices have been spoken about and scientifically proven for years, but this one is, it's like all the time, so that it precedes the chance for my system to start worrying or saying, I'm tired or whatever it is. It's like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So that is a practice I've been doing for 3 days. And in 3 days, I've been offered to speak at another retreat that I wasn't expecting. I had a client say yes to speak to me. That's like the ideal client, because I am accessing that frequency all day long of gratitude, which is the highest frequency there is. And I'm attracting like frequencies from the outside world.
Mm, I love that. There is a mix of so much in there. You wrapped up with a with a law of attraction. And coming in earlier, I heard a really strong empowerment piece where you're getting to own your experience instead of being the victim of what's happening to you. It seems like choice and freedom in there. And I know in my system, that is inspiring and it takes me definitely into a higher frequency place. Like those seem key to me. And I love the gratitude practice. For me, it's like a shifting of a lens. Like my nugget here would be, I start the day with something for me, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, I take a walk outside and I make an active practice of almost visualizing slipping on a lens of seeing what the universe is gifting me today. I literally look around on my walk and say, what gifts are coming my way today? And it might be the clouds moving in a beautiful way. It might be getting to hear the aspen leaves rustle. And there's that energetic shift where it sets up my entire day into that higher frequency state of gifting to and from. Because then as I come back in and start my workday or whatever else is going on, I'm actually in a state of abundance where I want to gift back.
Oh, I so love that. I have one of my greatest gifts and really curses is that I have creative ADD. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs do. And it's one of the reasons we're such good partners because I always have so many visions. And then I try them for a month and then I give them up because the next vision shows up. And so I've been playing with a good tagline for 20 years, right? And it changes. But the last one is the one that I imagine will be mine for a really long time. And that is see the world through the lens of love. And that's so interesting that you talked about lens because we talk in my work, in my methodology about the red zone lens, right? Which is seeing the world through the lens of fear and separation and seeing the world through the lens of love of the green zone and of seeing of unity and abundance and joy, right? Again, that high frequency. And that's why I'm so passionate where I say it's living at that frequency no matter what is happening on the outside because we get to see both things all the time. We have choice all the time. Do I see what's wrong with the world? Do I see what's right with the world? And as I started doing that thank you practice, which sounds so close to what you're doing every morning, I was almost overwhelmed by how much, it makes me want to cry, I am gifted by this world in every second. And when I'm an entrepreneur and I'm in that stress response, I'm noticing that someone hasn't paid my the bill yet. How am I going to make it this month? Why isn't this client returning my call? How many more people do I have to enroll? And both lenses are always available to me. And they're so different in my system. And one hurts so much and one feels so good. And I do feel deeply passionate about helping people really learn to have choice about which lens they want to see the world from.
Yeah, and that choice, that is our mutual passion as well, which is how do you transition? If you're in a lens of scarcity, you're in a lens of doubt, of overwhelm. So your nervous system is in a little bit of fight or flight, right? In my world, in my words, or in red zone, in your words. How do we shift to that frequency 11, that green zone, that parasympathetic state? And how do we do it to get to that abundance? Is it a linear move? Does it take time? Can we do it instantly? And we talk about destination 11 was when we realized that we could do it. We were in Bali when this happened at a retreat. We realized that we can actually get the felt experience of what it's like to jump from that red zone to that green zone, that low frequency to that high frequency. And that is the destination 11 jump. And the felt experience of it is what we, you and I, and our community practice is how to actually do that for yourself. And I want to talk about a few ways that we do that. Like, how do we practice that destination 11 jump from low to high so that it is essentially like a quantum piece, right? Mm. People can do it in any moment because sometimes you're in a meeting and all of a sudden there's overwhelm happening. The buildup's occurring. Oh no, the human suit's starting to malfunction or it's starting to tell you need to run or fight or something. So how do you shift the lens? Give me a tip or two.
My methodology, and I think this resonates with yours as well, with your work, is that there are two ways. One is this the short-term immediate in the moment. And I have a three-step method for that. One is you track, like you were saying, oh, I'm noticing my heart is racing. I'm noticing a sense of overwhelm. I have racing thoughts, right? And so I, in the methodology, I teach you to learn what those signals are that you are heading or are in the stress response. So awareness is number one. Oh yeah, I'm noticing my muscles are constricting. I'm speaking faster. My voice is getting higher. I mean, there's literally like 30, 40 different signals. Once you learn those signals, then you, the step number two, oh yeah, I am in the red zone. Step number two is you stop and breathe. And taking deep abdominal breath has been scientifically proven to tell our bodies that we're not in danger, that we don't have to be in the stress response, and start bringing us into the relaxation response, that green zone. If we still need another step, sometimes breathing is all we need in the middle of that meeting, we actually implement a feel, what I call a feel-good habit. And that can be an external habit, like, let me go to the bathroom, and then I'll do a few jumping jacks, or I will like scream silently because I need to discharge some of that energy. Or it can be like, thank you so much in this morning that I have a job. Thank you for the sunshine that's moving through these windows in this business room. Like, there's ways that we can shift. So that's, there's this in the moment practice you're asking about, but I want to be really clear that we also have to foundationally shift our frequencies. Because if we're constantly in the red zone, it's going to be really hard to shift anytime in the green zone. So again, at our retreats, we help people start to learn to more sustainably access those higher frequencies so that they can go home, they can have a new baseline from which they can then play with.
Yeah, I love that. To me, it's like having a first aid response, like first responder response, and then it's having, you know, this built up resiliency, these constant, consistent practices that help you have in your system, in your neurology, you have the remembering of how to get there so that you can access it as a felt experience. So it becomes a reflex, so to speak. It's your muscle memory, right? You've been at the gym doing your reps, and then there's the race day. So I love that. And I want to share one of the ones that I use, which is a little bit more on the gym side of things, since you shared a lovely first aid one. Mm-hmm. So the gym for me would be noticing in particular, what are my yellow flags? What are my warning signs that I might be tipping into a place where I may more be consistently at kind of a lower frequency than I want to be? I'm slipping from my high frequency place that I love to feel at. So one of those with me would be a lot of, I call her Ida, inner critic shows up. She is a doubter. She tells me I'm not good enough, that sort of thing. So when she shows up, I know that that's a yellow flag that maybe my human suit needs a little attention. I might need that nap and maybe a salad, not a cookie. So there's one piece for me. I notice I get a little defensive. I start imagining that the world is trying to attack me in some way. And this is not psychotic. It's just simply, I'll get an email and I might cringe when I go to open it, imagining that it's going to be bad news or something I have to take care of or another task, instead of me doing what is my normal, which is seeing the email and getting excited about the potential of what's going to be in that email. You know, it could be a problem to solve in there. There could be, you know, a human to connect with. There could be something. So noticing those two yellow flags for me are huge.
I really love that. I love that you have such a way with language, and I call it the SOS process, you know, but I love like first respond and first aid process. Again, I think what I'm really noticing, and that I really want to tell the listeners, the noticing of this is about taking responsibility for getting to know yourself. There's no way to live at a high frequency if you don't clearly know what it's like, A, to be at a high frequency, and you learn, you literally practice, you devote yourself to getting a felt sense of that, like, oh, this is home, right? This is the baseline I want to live at. And learning to notice the subtle and sometimes really clear signals of when you're not. So when you talked about the feeling, the defensiveness, or Ida, your inner critic coming in my chart of like, how do I know that I'm in the red zone? I have physiological symptoms, right? We're talking about like constricted muscle, racing heart rate, emotional symptoms like defensiveness, reactivity, mental signals, racing thoughts, right? And also core beliefs. Like when I'm in the red zone, my core beliefs show up of I don't belong, I'm not worthy. And so the moment I realize those core beliefs are present, I'm like, I'm in the red zone. And then the next thing I tell myself is, so don't believe anything you're thinking and seeing right now. Because when we are in the stress response, we see through a distorted lens, right? Bringing us back to that lens. And so we get the signal, oh, I'm there. Oh, I'm not going to believe anything I say. Let me take a few breaths. Let me get myself back in the green zone. And then I can trust what I think, what I feel, what actions to take.
To me, that brings up confidence in decision-making. And clear leadership for your team and accelerated growth, I think would be the results of that. And we've seen that. Like, I want to bring in the partnership a little piece here. You know, Isabel and I have been in this and in the mix as business partners. Anyone else that is a co-founder out there, I'm guessing you can relate to how it is to have a co-founder. It's like, I don't know, having all the intimate relationship without the orgasm is sort of how I joke about it, where you get to stay in the rough. And your dark side, your shadow side, as well as your light side comes out. And I want to state that one of our greatest tools and how Isabel and I have built what I think is one of the strongest relationships in my world, at least that I've ever experienced, and I know will be there for years to come, business success as well, is that we take the time to notice while in relation with one another and in a mindset of the others doing the best they can and compassion. And we go slow. When one of us slips into a zone of fight or flight or red zone, or we're not in our highest frequency, we hold the greater good for one another and we slow down and allow the time and space with one another. Does that fit for you of how we've built this?
Oh, I mean, so much. And the piece we do related to that gorgeous listening. And I love that the highest, holding the highest good, like knowing, like, even if you are in fight or flight, I trust that you are doing your absolute best. And we see so often in marriages or business partnerships, when we're in the red zone, we forget that. And we have that original intention that we are doing our best. And then the true listening, right? That's what I've experienced from you, is that we listen to each other, not defensively, but as a way to really get to know the other person's world. And it took me a few months to trust she was really, Danella was really doing that. You were really doing that, because I have this competitive thing. I was raised with a sister who literally was loved way more than me. I was seen as the bad kid. And so anytime Danella does really well, like in some, well, it has been like, not anytime. There are times when people are really loving Danella at our retreats, at our women retreats. I'm like revealing something really shady in me. I get really competitive. I'm like, because I immediately go to, oh no, if they love her, they won't love me. Because that was the structure I grew up with, that there was only room for one kid to be loved. And to, I'm getting chilled. It's like to admit that first to Danella, to be like, dude, I am so jealous of you. And I really want to like decimate you and like make I want leadership. And then to share it to our women in the retreat and have women be like, oh my God, I can feel competitive. I can feel jealous. Like I thought that was just me. That's one of our highest gifts, is we give ourselves that lens of love and listening. And then we share that to the women and we show a way to be with all of ourselves, of our humanity, in a way that actually creates more connection rather than less.
Yeah, and it's so much fun. It's so much fun. It is so uncomfortable, and it is so much fun. Because to me, it's part of that normalizing, which I think is one of my greatest whys in everything I do, is, hey guys, we're all human. Let's all be human together. And here's some tools on how to move through it. And to me, that is just so freeing. And there is so much fun and freedom in that for me. There's a piece in there that I just missed that I want to bring forward, and then we have to wrap up here. We're coming up on time. I think one of my greatest joys, and that I've learned with you, is how to be in emotion, in conflict, because one of these kind of sneaky waters we swim in, like, you know, your competitive side. And for me, it's, you know, one of my superpowers is doing all the structure, right? I'm the integrator and you're more of the visionary in this particular partnership of zone of geniuses. And for me, like, the edge sometimes is coming forward. I mean, I know I'm the host of the podcast here, so the irony is present to me. But in our working relationship and pairing, we have it set up in a different way. So my edge is actually to come forward and speak my desire and be seen and share and believe that what I have in my head might be useful. And to say it in a linear fashion so others can follow is one of my greatest challenges. So I think that's also part of the fun, is what would be like, and this is what you and I get to do, if we get to be with the emotion, we get to be our shadow, we get to be our light, we get to be our strengths, we get to be our weaknesses, and it's all welcomed. Maybe not all perfectly welcomed all the time, but here's some ways to do it. Mm-hmm. And one of the greatest ones to me, and the one I think is my take home that I would like people to walk away with, at least seeing if it resonates with them, is just taking an extra breath, noticing a reaction come online, if you have one.
I really just keep thinking about how this worked between you and I. So if you are a listener and you have any kind of partnership in your work, or even people who work above you or below you, I don't even know if that's the politically appropriate way to say this anymore, but we at first, you know, any new relationship, whether it's a business partner or personal partner, we fall in love and we only see through the lens of love, and we're curious about them and they can share anything about them. And so we have this period, this honeymoon period. And so a lot of partnerships begin with that and they're like, so cool. But what happens, what we've seen again and again in businesses, and I'm a licensed marriage family therapist, in personal lives, is then it's like the shit starts showing up, right? The difficulties, the differences. And how do we manage differences in a way that actually, you always bring this in, so I'm going to say it again, creates more connection rather than less. I would say the large majority of people I know, when they find differences, it separates and creates less connection. You and I partner together and teach how to create more connection, even within differences. And that is the magic of what we do. And that's why women told us when they saw us work for the first time in Bali, you guys have to do more of these in the world. And that's really what made us create Destination 11, because we have something really magical about human nature and how to be human while still being connected.
Yeah, that lands with me. This is my life's work, people. This is what I'm here to do, and I know that, and Isabel and I are doing it together. And we would welcome you to check us out and join us. Destination11.com, with the number 11 in there, is how you can find out more about our upcoming retreats. Our next one is November 2019 in Mexico at this 200-acre private resort, eco-luxury resort. We're so excited. Baby sea turtles, people. Baby sea turtles. It's cow ceremonies. So much goodness.
What shows up for you is the baby sea turtles. For me, it's like beach, warmth, spaciousness, like time to play, time to laugh, time to meditate, like time to, like, there's so much goodness and so much magic that happens at these retreats. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and it's a great posse. And for listening to this in its early iteration here, do know that we're already down to, we're 2/3 full, I think, at this point. So there's only like 6 spots left. We do really small retreats. So check us out if you want to. We'd love to see you, have a conversation. Check out the show notes, folks. Thanks for being here. And Isabel, thank you for showing up. So Isabel, every time.
That was really, really fun. I'm like, wait, we're already done? I don't want to be done. This is such good conversation. So let's do it again. Maybe I'll interview you on the next one. That we'll keep going with the conversation.
Thank you for being with us today. I'm Daniela Narker, and it is my belief that people leading lives and businesses clearly aligned with their values and goals is a level up for all of us. Learn more about how to apply clarity practices in your life at daniela.com. This has been Clarity in Real Time. See you next episode.